Someday, a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong, they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
Good evening. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the station management, Tufts University Administration, or the Board of Trustees. This show runs every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. in the summer. I'm not sure what's going to happen in the fall, but for the next few weeks, 6 to 8 p.m. And today on the program, we are again live in the studio here on lovely Tufts campus. Fantastic rain showers came through. Amazing thunder and lightning. Gotta love it. And we're here live today. Becky with the good hair couldn't join us, but we do have... Uh-oh. Say it again, please.
Mark Malone here.
BLAQ.
Wow, we're all here. Great. Why isn't that there? All right, so the first thing I think that's interesting is that it's even more clear, even the things that I've heard in mainstream media are saying the vaccines, so-called vaccines, the chemical injections, are not safe and not effective and are harmful. I don't watch TV, but I saw something about Tucker Carlson talking about it and saying that there have been lots of injuries and dangerous chemicals inside the chemical that's being injected into you. Turn that microphone a little bit more to that way. So I think that that's finally something that can be honestly accepted by everybody listening to this. And being aware also that the CDC changed guidelines so that anybody who is vaccinated, so-called vaccinated, or unvaccinated is all the same as far as the legal framework of the United States is concerned. So that means there is no more discrimination for someone's so-called vaccination status. If you're applying for a job or you're working at a place, there is no legal framework for you to be discriminated against in that regard based on what is under the surface of your skin. So it's about time for everyone to stop the charade. Anybody who's like working for a company that is requiring people to have so-called vaccines, you got to sue these people. It's the only way for it to stop is to sue the company or threaten it, because otherwise these heads of companies are not going to change because they're pussies, like I've said before. These people are too worried about their own behinds to concern with the actual people, the multitude of people who are working under them. So you got to start suing. Sue those people. What do you guys think about that?
Sue those people. First of all,
As I just said, there's several words you can't say on radio, but sue those people is what I'm saying instead.
First of all, October 2020, right before the vaccine rollout, or was it 2021? 2021. Every major vaccine producer said that the vaccines were never meant to do anything more than reduce the symptoms. They never said it was a sterilizing vaccine, similar to the flu vaccine. But somewhere along the lines between October 2021 and January 2022, that message got ignored or whatever. Yeah. I even posted on my Facebook page, and all of them, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson was the only one that was considered a sterilizing vaccine because they take J&J is a traditional vaccine where they take a piece of the pathogen, but all the rest of them basically said that they were never intended to do anything other than decrease the symptoms and lessen the symptoms.
And then they changed the definition of vaccine too. It used to be provides immunity, and now it just is, oh well, it lessens the symptoms and it lessens the effects of a virus.
Right.
Well, it's not the same thing because it's inappropriate use of definitions. It's a retroactive con to get you to uptake a chemical injection that is created by a company that needs a profit from you. So if you are going to be hurt by something, it doesn't matter as long as they make the profit.
Well, also, don't you remember when the, I don't know if you saw the video about the CEO, not of Pfizer, Borla, who's become famous, the, I think it might have been Moderna or whatever, basically said that the reason they changed it from a vaccine to an EU experimental gene therapy is because their focus group said, if you're a patient, would you like an experimental gene therapy? And you would say no. So they changed the name and the definition so that it would be less scary for the average person to go, would you like an experiment or would you like a vaccine?
Marketing.
Yes. And it's on YouTube.
And did the vaccines ever go beyond emergency use authorization?
Oh, good point.
I don't even remember. I stopped following it, but there was a period where I was like, no, we're still on only emergency use. We're still only on
Yes, we are. Just like we're still in a 9/11 emergency. Yeah.
Well, no, yeah. there was never, it was always used as an emergency use authorization because that was the only way that everybody could be forced to have a chemical injection.
Right.
If there were other medicines that would work for fixing the disease, then you couldn't have an emergency use authorization for one specific type of system, which is the gene therapy. That would be invalid because they would say, well, there's no emergency because ivermectin works fine.
Exactly.
So that's why they had to declare it an emergency use authorization in order for the drug companies to make money from their brand new gene therapy experiment on the entire world. So
don't forget, yeah. Comirnaty or whatever has been FDA approved, but Pfizer said they will never mass produce it, and Paxlovid got approved without any other than 8 weeks of trial. So those are approved. You can get Paxlovid at the at any drugstore right now.
Yeah.
For free, or $11, even though it's supposed to be $200 per treatment, which is a 7-day pill regimen.
But most people don't need to take any medicine because it's not dangerous.
We know that.
It's evolved to the point where it's not dangerous. It's less dangerous than the flu, and it's just like any other cold. So there's no reason to have any of this fear anymore, and people who are still like having a mask outside while they're walking down the street, ridiculous. It's now, to me, it is just a sign of mental illness, is really what a mask in public is just a sign of that you are so fragile that you cannot take a walk down the street without fearing for your life. I mean, you have been altered by TV. You've been watching too much TV is really what it is, these people. And they believe everything they see. You can't believe everything in the paper and TV and anywhere. You just have to believe your own heart. And honey, if you're wearing that mask in public, work on your heart. You got some personal things to work on.
Well, you know, are you familiar with Charles Eisenstein?
No. I want to hear some things that you've brought, too, by the way, Matt, at some point. But, yes, who's Charles Eisenstein?
Charles Eisenstein is a philosopher type of... he writes about philosophy, but he also... psychology of the mass. Sort of like Desmet. You know who he is.
Yes.
Desmet. Sort of like him, but more... He's an American.
Mass psychosis, you mean?
Yes. And he basically said that if you watch throughout human history, we are given... And specifically this generation, or this... time frame, the majority of people have been, for the last 50, if not 60, 70 years, people have been suffering with depression, anxiety, social phobias or whatever, and the usual cure is to give them a pill, but no talk therapy, or very little talk therapy. And he says it started about the time that Ritalin, in the late 70s and 80s, that a certain generation of kids were given Ritalin, like an 8-year-old who's hyperactive or whatever, and when the kid got out, you couldn't give him Ritalin for more than 3 or 4 years. You gave him Zoloft, or you gave him Adderall, or you gave him whatever it was. And this generation is basically more... Your generation, actually. Your generation is much more likely to take a pill than to be introspective. Mm. And if you continuously do that over a lifetime, it's no different than somebody watching one... like CNN, for lack of a better, you can do it on either side. If you are basically raised or continuously watch a certain TV show, whether it's Friends or whether it's that or whatever it is, if you continuously watch the same thing, you tend to believe what they say because it's just continuously drilled into your head. So when somebody contrasts your opinion, you get physically upset. You don't know why. You get defensive. You get, your heart rate goes up. You get the fight or flight thing. And even if they give you the logical argument, which is what the mask basically is at this point, even if you tell someone who's basically put the mask on no matter what, even if you tell them that they don't work, if you give them pounds and pounds of papers and papers of research that says it, they still can't get it because for the last 2 years and prior to that, especially if they're under a certain age, I think the cutoff is probably 50.
Yeah.
You know?
That reminds me of there was a clip that went viral maybe a year or two ago of this guy named Yuri Bezmenov, and he was a former Soviet psychologist spy. And he said that, if you demoralize someone and you break their spirit, then they're going to be conditioned to, you know, just rattle off the same stuff over and over again. It doesn't matter how much proof or evidence you put in front of them. They're just going to go back to their programming. They're going to go back to that knee-jerk reaction and just repeat the lines that have been drilled and drilled into their head. And I think you see a little bit of that now.
A lot of it. That's psychological warfare. Think of all the three-letter things. Stay safe. Stay home. Stay the distance. We're safe. We're safer together. Everything is an ad campaign, and it started at the beginning, and it just keeps going on. The only thing that's missing now is they don't have one for whatever this new thing is. They've run out of slogans. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of that? Have you seen "Stay safe, stay home, save lives"?
For what?
For the next wave that I think is coming.
It's going to be a false wave, and it's going to be a joke, just like monkeypox and supposedly polio is.
So that actually brings me to a question.
But you were very incisive in that point about being basically brainwashed. In order for people to accept the new lies and repeat them over and over, first, they have to be broken in spirit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that done in the past 2 years?
Well, I think with lockdown, certainly, you weren't able to meet up with people. Basically, they did what the Nazis did, where they said, "Oh, you can't meet. It's illegal to meet in groups larger than three people." You know, that was a thing that Hitler and the Nazis literally did. And we had that effectively done with through social enforcement by saying, "Oh, you can't have a children's birthday party, stay alone in your home." And they managed to effectively do that because if you weren't abiding by it, the odds are the majority of the people you knew were. So you couldn't really.
Right, you're going to kill grandma if you go to the playground, if you go to church, which has never been in this country, churches have never been closed, mm-hmm. except since 1918, they kept them open. Half of them were sanctuaries, half of them were for people that were needed some sort of spiritual anything. This is the first time in American history that they've closed churches.
And now when the situation happened, it was just about 2 years, but it only takes 18 months to change behavior permanently, psychologically. They found this through through MK Ultra and other brainwash techniques that they used in the 50s. And also, for example, a reporter embedded in a combat unit in wartime will have a nervous breakdown after 18 months because he's not prepared or trained to be in that kind of situation. And your body's adrenaline basically runs out. Your adrenaline gland just kind of caves after 18 months. And it's also kind of the cycle of the human kind of emotional system. So when you at the end of that 18-month period, once you have been exposed to that kind of stress, you can't go on any longer, and you're just broken. And so that's why this whole thing was about 2 years long, was to break that spirit of as many people as possible.
You're saying was about 2 years long. It's still going.
Oh, no, it's over. Come on. This is all over.
It's not.
It's over.
It's just act one.
But now it's over. Act one's over. It's over, people.
It'll be over when I don't see anyone wearing a mask.
There's those poor saps are going to be wearing masks till they die. I'm so sad for them.
I don't know. I think only 5% of the people I see now still have a mask.
No, go to JP.
Yeah.
Go to Cambridge.
Okay. Maybe.
Go to Western Mass. Go to Vermont.
Yeah, I haven't been to Western Mass in a long time.
Go to Vermont. Yeah. They're probably the worst. But JP reinstituted their mask mandate 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What?
For indoors,
I don't think it's going to catch on.
My husband was in JP in a hardware store, and everyone was wearing a mask except him.
Yeah.
In a hardware store. It's not like dummies. They know how to swing hammers either.
Right. Yeah, no tough guys in that store.
I mean, I think you guys are both right in a sense. I think COVID is mostly behind us. I don't think you're going to be able to convince the people that there's going to be a surprise outbreak again. But at the same time, I think they're going to take what they learned with these lockdowns on like a psychological level and a social level, probably reintroduce a lot of those policies, probably for some other type of crisis.
Not necessarily. Climate's the next one.
I was going to say climate. One. Climate does climate's seem to be the crisis. Next one.
Well, that is interesting because to force people to more readily agree to what had hitherto been extremely anti-humanitarian measures, you first have to whip them into a frenzy of fear of death,
yep.
which is the farthest thing and most psychological changeable moment that you can be in is when you're in fear of death, then everything changes for you.
Yeah.
So by creating this sense of fear of death for everybody, then they are more easily able to be changed into accepting terrible Nazi-like measures.
Right.
And then in the future, they're said, "Well, we did that before, so we can do it again." But you should never do it again. Yeah. Never.
Yeah. Well, that kind of reminds me. This happened a long time ago. This was maybe 3-4 years ago. There was like a group of young kids, like 7-year-olds, and they were doing like a visit your congresswoman event, and they were visiting none other than Dianne Feinstein. And they were trying to, do like a small, lobby for climate, restrictions.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
This?
Yep.
And
yes,
so so the kids, like, they had their, like, little, like, signs and stats. And Dianne Feinstein's talking to them like adults. She's like, "Well, that's, that's way too expensive. We can't just accommodate everyone." And one of the little 7-year-olds blurts out, "But the world's going to end in 7 years." And this little girl believed it. Like, it's like, no, if we don't do something now.
And why did she believe it? Because her parents are paranoid as hell.
Right.
Yet, if they were paranoid, they would not have brought her into the world. And they did.
Yeah.
So it's almost there's a dichotomy. It's like people, your generation, don't want to have kids because they think
I'm paranoid. Yeah.
Right. But there's also the underlying reason why they're like.
The masters of war make me not want to bring kids into this world.
Right.
I spit on their grave till I know they're dead.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are you convinced? Well, they must be dead because you're spitting on their grave.
That's what bugged me.
It's really effective on the younger generations, though.
Yeah.
That propaganda that the world's going to end if we don't take action. But that reminds me of something else I wanted to bring up was I heard that California has rolled out plans to eliminate gas cars by 2035.
Oh, I don't know too much about that, but that sounds pretty heavy.
Yeah, and so I think that just kind of ties into this panic and urgency over the climate. It's like, oh, everyone, trade in your powerful gasoline cars, and we'll give you this much weaker, easily trackable electric car that we can control much easier.
It's just an extension of the solar panel thing. It's like, we'll give you money if you do this. And also Bank of America just said that by 2025.
My question is, how does the oil company make money with this electric car in California?
What are electric cars made of?
Yes. That's true, but you only make one of them for every 10 years instead of buying, 20 gallons of gas a week.
Yeah, but you can still, the parts that are for Tesla or whatever, the majority of those parts are still petroleum-based.
Yes, so they'll plastic.
They'll still make money, and everything. This world runs on oil. Even if we stop gassing up cars, everything that we get from everywhere else runs on oil.
Yeah.
So where you want a refrigerator, it's going to have to come from somewhere. We're not making anything in this country anymore, so it's got to come from somewhere. So even if you do that for cars, there's still a whole industry out there that's still going to be fine without, because we run on oil. We do. There's no way around it.
That's why I brought it up, because how could the oil company allow this to happen is basically what I'm saying.
Well, they're probably getting a lot of that ESG money that we talked about.
Oh, yeah, before. ESG.
Yeah.
But they're also a big, oil companies in general, and power companies are also a big, big supporter of climate things.
Right.
So they'll give $6 billion for windmills or whatever, or solar panels, which are basically made out of petroleum products.
Mm. Okay, wait. Before we get too much, I want to spend the first half hour still talking about vaccines fake vaccines.
Sorry.
Let's go back to the electric car after 6:30, okay?
Sure.
All right. Now, from my point of view, it seems that I saw a very important document that just came out, and it's a group of scientists in Germany who have examined in many ways all of the so-called vaccines that have been injected into people, and they have found large crystals of metal in all of these vials, every single one of them. And it's not a contaminant, because a contaminant would be rarely found within the sample size. This is an ingredient. They're crystals made of right angles, rectangles, triangles, and even like swirly spirals of material. And these things are huge. Now, and they can also combine into larger chunks of each other that are much larger than just themselves. Now, why would that be in there? First of all, the size of capillaries in your body are on the order of 10 microns, which is 0.0001 meters. That's 10 to the minus 4 meters. Microns are 10 to the minus 6, but if you have 10, then you're... So that would be 10 to the minus 5 meters. 100 microns is 10 to the minus 4 meters, and a millimeter is 10 to the minus 3 meters. So you have 1,000 microns to make 1 millimeter.
Okay. Schoolhouse Rock, right there.
Well, we got to set the stage. So the capillaries that in your body are 10 microns wide, just wide enough for a red blood cell to go down. These particles that are found in the vaccines are they're at least 50 microns wide, and they can form chunks of each other that are 150 microns wide. That is 0.1 millimeter. That's 1/10 of a millimeter. You have 10 of these particles together, you can have a millimeter. The smallest thing you can see with a human eye, depending on how good you are, is about 40 microns. Or actually, depending on how it goes, depending on how you mathematically determine it, or the age of the eye, meaning a child or an adult, it can be anywhere from 10 to 40 microns. So these particles are so big that you can see them with your eye. They're 150 microns wide. So these 150 micron wide particles will clog up 10 micron wide capillaries, causing blood clots, causing massive blood clots all over the place, in your body. So that is one of the reasons, or potentially one of the reasons, that we see a massive amount of blood clots in a large amount of people, and a reason why the deaths are unexplained from these so-called vaccines, these chemical injections, from the gene therapy vaccines, the gene therapy injections. I've got to be clear. A vaccine is not what these are. It's gene therapy. So if you got a gene therapy vaccine, you probably got a lot of crystals put into your body and have an increased chance of getting some of these massive blood clots because of the way that they clump. So where have these blood clots been seen? They've been seen in people who have died immediately because a blood clot goes to the brain and they have a stroke, or it goes to an artery in the heart and the heart just dies because the heart is designed basically to, or the way it is, your body triages, and it can't solve the heart, it can't heal the heart in enough time to keep you alive, but it can heal, say, like your arm to keep you alive. So,
If I could just jump in real quick, this goes back a little bit to changing definitions. I remember when the vaccines were getting rolled out,
I have the source for that, by the way, which I'll give you.
They were saying it would take 2 weeks for the vaccine to take effect, and so if anyone died before that 2 weeks was up,
they were
considered unvaccinated. So if you got the vaccine, died of a heart attack suddenly 3 days later, they'd be like, oh, well, this person was unvaccinated, and they count them as a unvaccinated.
Sort of like if you got tested positive and you died of a motorcycle. There were plenty more than that. The guy that...
I only heard of the one, but I know what you're talking about.
Let me tell you the source of this. This is a group called the Working Group for COVID Vaccine Analysis out of Germany. And their summary of preliminary findings, I found it on Epoch Times website. There was an article called, I'll read it right here, where is it? The article is called "Unusual Toxic Components Found in COVID Vaccines, Without Exception, Say German Scientists." And the findings are found on a website, documentcloud.org/documents/2214016. /report/from/working-group-of-vaccine analysis in Germany. So, but you can find that on the Epoch Times website. And they found Also in the vaccines, besides these crystals of unknown origin and composition, they found metallic items. Well, first of all, with modern analysis techniques, things like mass spectroscopy and X-ray crystallography, you can only tell that singular atoms are in there. You can't tell what they are combined into. You can't. The way that these people tested it, we do not know the compound with which these atoms made, if they made something up. All they know is the individual atoms. So there were alkali metals, cesium, potassium, alkaline earth metals, calcium, barium, transition metals, cobalt, iron, chromium, titanium, rare earth metals, cerium, gadolinium, mining group metals, aluminum and carbon group, silicon and oxygen group, sulfur. Now, some of those like silicon, sulfur, aluminum and calcium are just common. They're found in everybody. Also potassium. But some of the other things like titanium and chromium, I think, are not found in bodies on a regular basis. It has to be put in there somehow. So the question is, why are these in there? What were they in there for? And some of them are used in other vaccine ingredients, such as in the same way that when you're baking a cake, you add things to make it fluffier or easier to spread or any of those reasons. There's some of those in there that are considered normal vaccine ingredients. But
all the rest you just described are the contents of a Tesla battery. We're all becoming...
Well, the document explains exactly what each item is and what it does and what it's usually for. But look at these crystals here. I mean, it's a giant rectangular square. It's kind of glowing and floating in the middle, and then there's a giant conglomeration of a whole bunch of them down here. Where is it?
Do you guys remember when people were doing that magnet stuff?
Yes, that's what I mean.
I don't know. I'm still pretty skeptical about that.
Google it. There's a woman in the UK that has four spoons on her shoulder.
Yeah, but you can do tricks. You know, I'd have to see it in person myself.
Do you want to hang out with someone who's gotten the shot? Because the weird thing about remember how they were talking about shedding?
Yes,
last year?
I remember that. Yeah.
And I'm still not convinced. I think that once you get past a certain point after getting the shot,
right,
you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing how everybody keeps getting boosted, there's a certain population that's boosted. I'm asking people now, how many have you had?
Right.
Put your mask on, even though it doesn't really help.
Yeah, I know.
Just to give them a dig.
Right.
But,
right. Yeah.
So now now what happens if this is found to be intentional? What happens if the companies who've done this knew that they were doing it, and were doing it for certain reasons that we don't know about, but you know, I could think of the worst case.
Well, Mr. Gates said it was an operating system. Think of the shot as an operating system for your DNA and for your DNA. So
really,
he said that 2015 TED Talk or 2017, whatever. Because he's a computer guy. He's not a doctor. And people, that perspective has permeated everything. And I don't even know who it was. There was an interview, probably on the Joe Rogan interview, where they said he thinks of everything as a virus and a cure. You know, so if there's a virus, whether it's computer or organic origin, he's going to try and attack it from purely... computer. I don't even know what the word.
Well, that's
is.
Just from his point of view. So you describe it from your worldview, and that's
right.
How his worldview.
But
is
he
a
also
computer.
Described it as a messenger RNA, as a system in which you can program the body. That was what he implied in that. He said that's why they call it messenger RNA, and we can basically what you can do, and you can see that because he does his hand things.
Basically, what you can do is program the body to blah 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 blah, and then we can do this.
Okay, you know? That's not the best Bill Gates impression I've ever heard.
I thought it was okay.
I don't usually do impressions, so you'll just have to deal with it. But that's what he said at the beginning, and this is years ago. You know, not this isn't something he's been working on this for decades.
All right, but forget about him. What about the people who are running the companies, Pfizer, Moderna, etc.?
They're going to have
funded
so
by
much,
Bill Gates.
Right? They're going to have so much plausible deniability that it's going to be really, really hard, I think, to pin anything on.
Especially
anybody.
Especially how considering autopsies aren't being done on any of these people.
Because they're going to say, "Well, we cited this source that said it was safe, so we assumed it was safe." And unless you can, you know, prove that they were negligent to not look into it further, they're probably going to be okay.
But the issue is
I think that's
that,
a travesty.
Well, also the pharmaceutical companies conduct their own studies and then submit their findings to the FDA.
Right.
The FDA
right.
does not do any of its own due diligence or anything. They go, "This is good." Pfizer says right. this is good. The FDA says okay. Pfizer pays the FDA 50% of its budget, and then the FDA says, "Okay, you say it's good." Yep. That happened with Vioxx. It happened with thalidomide.
Yes.
It happened with the swine flu vaccine. It's happened with everyone.
Yes,
even Pfizer had the gazillion-dollar lawsuit a couple of years ago, and yet they were still able to function.
Yeah,
the biggest lawsuit in the history of the pharmaceutical company in the world, and here they are still making. Still popping
stuff
out.
And then we got Fauci on his little golden parachute now. You know,
yeah.
He's retiring. He's probably
he's going
nice.
To the next chapter in 81.
Yeah, I know.
Next right. chapter is jail.
Now, we'll do a little bit more on this, especially some of the blatant kind of programmed con artists that are out there. But first, I just have to say this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. And this show runs every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. this summer. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what about all these famous people and the people in government that got COVID after having four shots and they said, "Thank you for letting me be vaccinated, and now I have COVID."
No, the thing
and they
thing
all
is,
said the same
say
thing.
Say it again. If I hadn't taken it,
exactly.
It would have been so much worse. But also,
yes. And they all said exactly the same thing. If I had not had taken it,
it'd be worse.
And I'm so grateful to be vaccinated because otherwise it would be worse. First of all, you have no idea how bad it would be, and second of all, how could a vaccine allow you to still get a disease?
Because it doesn't.
Even
do
though
anything.
It's less virulent at that time,
right.
It's because the vaccine is not effective. It doesn't work, and there is no need to take it anymore, and there is no need to force anyone to take it because there's no danger from this so-called disease. And if you're pushing it, you are intentionally negligent at this point, and or you're just emotionally distraught and a baby. you're either like absolutely emotionally 15 years old or 12 or you haven't dealt with any of the crap that you've had to that's been shoveled at you. So go to therapy for crying out loud.
But also,
stop forcing people to deal with your own fear.
Think about this. Nobody in government
deal
think about the
fear.
Average age of the most of our public servants are well over 50. Not one of them died since this whole thing of COVID or with the shots.
Good point.
None of them died.
That's a good point.
And I'm like, they're all old.
Wasn't there that one black congressman? And I don't think he didn't die of COVID.
Oh, Herman Cain?
No. Although he died too. I don't remember. He was a Democrat, though.
Well, I don't
know. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a bunch of old people in public service.
Right.
Feinstein being one of them. She's like 87.
That's true.
Did she? Yeah. Why aren't these people dying? You know, if it was of COVID or, well, of COVID, basically. And they didn't before the shots were around. But also, members of Congress don't have to take the shot. Neither do post office people, and certain segments of the federal government don't have to take it.
Right.
So, if they didn't take it, and they're still old, obese, or whatever, but most of them are pretty in pretty good shape, like Fauci. So, they didn't have diabetes. They didn't morbidly obese. So, maybe they just got lucky. But I also think there were different formulas going around the world and around the country.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Different people not getting sick versus
I didn't verify this story, but there was like a crate of vaccines that says like, "Do not ship to America," and then like a bunch of, and this was in Africa, and a bunch of the people were like, "Hey, wait a minute, I don't want this crate that says don't send to America." Like, you know, I didn't verify that one though, but it was a headline.
Well, there was also a year ago when there was a batch where they're producing vaccines in Baltimore that mixed up the batches between Moderna and Pfizer.
Yeah,
why they would be doing business?
Yeah.
if they're supposed to be competing with each other is question number right. one. And what happened to those? And also the ones in Canada where they said they were set to expire, yet nobody seemed to figure out what to do with them, and all of a sudden they're gone.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's a good portion that just seem to be like saline solutions or something. That's just a hunch. It's not based off anything.
Well, Tedros, whatever his name is, has a picture of him a year and a half ago getting a shot. Got interviewed less than 6 weeks ago, and he said, "I didn't get it."
That's kind of interesting.
And this was in the UK, and he was like, "Well, I'm waiting. I'm healthy. I'm this." And what the reporter should have said is, "There's a picture of you with the hypodermic needle in your arm."
Right.
And I think that happened to a lot of people. I don't think Joe Biden got three shots.
Well, one of them was an empty needle.
Exactly. So and the other one might have been given. He might have been given B12, which was when he was all hopped up and his eyes were really big on that video.
Yeah.
And then the next one is you crash from that. If you're old and you get that injection, 2 to 3 days later, you're asleep.
Well, now that's what you said before about the government employees not needing to take it. I didn't know about that, but I do know that I've been applying to job or looking to apply to jobs and looking at a ton of different jobs, and I saw some jobs for. Not that I'm intending to apply to these jobs, but I saw Navy jobs, and there was a disclaimer down at the bottom, and instead of all around here, jobs around Cambridge area, we require everybody to be vaccinated or else have a religious exemption, which we will possibly
ignore.
Accept. Yeah. The Navy says... we are not currently enforcing any vaccination mandate for anybody in our organization.
Interesting.
Basically.
Excellent.
That's because the COVID...
Quite recently, then.
The idea has just changed this week.
Yep.
And so maybe we can read about those a little more in more detail about how the federal government's definitions of COVID things have changed. Do you still have that paper there?
This one?
Yeah.
The CDC one? Yeah. This is the revised... Walensky.
It's deep, but do you have
No, because the one that they put on Twitter. No. Well, I do, but it's all legal speak too. If you read this, I had to read this six times because it's at your request. I led a rapidly assess the major and foundational guidance the agency had issued in order to identify.
Okay, that's enough.
But I'm saying that's what it is. It's like it gives you a headache trying to read this.
I do feel bad for all those people that were discharged, you know.
And they should be reinstated.
They really should.
The nurses, the firemen, especially in New York, where they're the teachers that actually held out, they're not. They're all sitting around waiting for something. Every one of those people should be reinstated.
The whistleblower, there was a whistleblower article also in the Epoch Times. How much are you going to accept the Epoch Times? Well, guess what? It's something outside of indoctrinated ideas, so think about it. The whistleblower for the Army said that a lot more deaths have happened because of the vaccines in the Army than it has been led to believe, than the numbers
the
have been given
one.
Out.
Yep, that's what Tom Rentz is doing, trying to figure out how many, and they had I think it was 400 increase in miscarriages, infertility, this is all due to DOD, and you could, all you have to do is type in DOD until they, it might say 3 or 4, maybe 6 months ago, they've scrubbed the DOD website, because you used to, MedX or Med something, where you can go in and you can compare to 2015 to 2020, they've since then tried to... they said it was a computer glitch. Remember this was even on mainstream news. They said it was a computer glitch, and they've reassessed it and changed it, and now all those things have decreased. But the whistleblower kept the original thumb drive and basically just said, you compare this one to what they doctored up, and it still doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's a dangerous situation because these people who have possibly willfully been negligent in the creation of these chemical injections, these gene therapies, these experimental technologies that were forced upon the mass of the population, these people need to be taken into account. I mean, how else are people going to have justice and release once they realize the extent of the malfeasance involved?
You mean the vaccine injured or the perpetrators.
The perpetrators. The heads of the companies that made the decisions to go in this direction. Now, this is the problem because I think they're just middlemen for people who are directing this to be a large-scale kind of, culling of the weak in the population because they want less people in the world. It's a very common idea that people have thought about, because if you look at the patterns, it kind of makes sense. But wait, I just, before I get on to that, I just want to say, show this thing about, let's see if this works. Play this.
TV, radio, and okay. Online this morning. Now, Rishi Sunak says that lockdowns could
it's still
have
not quite loud
shorter,
enough.
Different, quicker. We could be in a very different place, he says now, with the benefit of hindsight that some of us never needed. Apparently, as the economy tanks, he regrets the government's COVID strategy, stating that the scientists at Sage should never have been put in charge of the country's response. Well, who knew? Thanks for that, Rishi. Now I can sleep at night. Except, of course, I can't.
Okay, this woman goes on. It's 8 minutes long, but her name is Beverly Turner. She's on the new Great Britain Network called...
Talking about Sunak?
Yeah, Sunak. Oh, okay. It's called GBN, Great Britain Network, out of the UK, and it's a new network from just a year or two ago. And she's talking about Sunak, who is running for UK Prime Minister and is fervently for the central bank digital currency that will turn you into an automaton and slave. But she goes on to say that I won't sleep until there are arrests over the despotic, unscientific measures of the scamdemic and the perverted profits sucked up by vampirical pharmaceutical companies aided and abetted by a media paid off. So,
what's her name again?
Her name is Beverly Turner on the GBN, Great Britain Network. Now, I hear about this stuff from Majid Nawaz, M-A-A-J-I-D, Nawaz, N-A-W-A-Z. And that's his tweet handle. So these ideas are not far away. These are right here in front of you. And you've got to understand that there are major problems, and there are people who are going to take people who have made these problems to task. And these people will be taken care of. And I think on the one hand, nothing can happen. But on the other hand, there's groups, there's pitchforks. You bring the torches and pitchforks to the addresses of the public of the public
didn't
people.
Didn't we talk about this beforehand?
Well, I'm just saying that's something that could happen.
Well, I mean,
if people get mad enough, this will happen.
Yeah, but that's you're also talking about a fight that is as old as humanity.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the undesirables, the higher ups wanting to get rid of the peasants and the people that are making them feel guilty in this. In this instance, it's people like us who are making the people who made a medical decision.
Yeah.
You can see it in real time. How many unvaccinated? I couldn't go anywhere a year ago, basically, because the higher ups, the morally superior people who did what they were supposed to, who stayed safe and distanced themselves and got the shot, insisted that I was the unclean one. And because of my skin color, I'm used to it. But the average white person.
Well, that's the thing is it's hard to conflate those two things, because there's something that's fundamentally similar about all those, isn't there?
Yes.
But Matt,
the unvaxxed water fountain.
Mark.
I know, Mark.
Yeah. What I was gonna say though is we got to be careful to not just assume someone's gonna come and hold people to accountable and. You know,
there is no Superman.
No, exactly. And so I want to urge people to, you know, don't think someone's going to come and save you. Don't think someone's going to wave a magic wand and everything's going to be okay. It's ultimately going to be up to you to hold people to accountable. So call your congressman, you know, go to protests if you think, like, if it's something you care about. You know, make sure that these people who pass these really, really bad policy decisions answer for them at the very least. And you know, I the people who at the very top, we were mentioning before, you know, like above these middlemen, I think they run these calculations. They're really good at social and behavioral sciences, and I think they know that, like, oh well, if we push the people to this, like, right before this line, they're not going to get angry. They're not going to like we just don't got to push it. So they're banking on you sitting on your couch, watching TV, watching the mainstream media, and, like, you know, hoping for something. And they want you to sit on your couch. So I think it's up to us to prove them wrong. You know, go to rallies, go to where these people are talking, call your congressman, let them know that, you know, that you don't agree with the decisions they made.
Yes, but you forget to, I mentioned this last time, they're already conditioned. Complacency,
oh, yeah,
comfort
for sure,
breeds
for sure.
complacency, and there's a large percentage of the population that's perfectly comfortable. It's only going to affect them when they start hurting.
Right.
And the
and then it's too late.
And it will
exactly.
be too late. Yep.
Yeah, and that's why the people that are, just, like whatever Desmond said, 30% of the population is already gone, 30% are on the fence, and 30% are on our side.
Right.
So what we need to do, and I said this last time too, is you can't tell them to stop because that doesn't work. You can't say to the woman that's walking down the street with a mask on, hey, you know they don't work.
Right.
Well, because obviously, if she knew they didn't work, she wouldn't be wearing one.
Yeah.
And there's also the majority of people, and we're nice people. The worldwide, most people are nice. We don't want to be in somebody's face when they're wearing a mask unless they come to us and insist that. That's when the defensive thing comes up. When somebody comes up and says, you need to do this.
Yeah,
with
do what I say.
With nothing backing it other than... Big Brother telling you that you need to do this. And when you ask them, well, where did Big Brother get his information? Another Big Brother tells them that's the information. And that way they can skip a couple of levels of blame. And I'm just following what Big Brother told me. And I'm telling you because I'm now your Big Brother.
Well, it comes back around because as soon as people realize that they're being screwed over, they will do the screwing over.
I don't think so, because of the majority of people that are still taken, they're already lining up for the next shot.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're...
There isn't one, so...
There is one. It's coming out in September.
Oh, yeah, but that's just like the flu. It's always last year.
But what they're doing is these people are the same ones that are still wearing masks.
Yeah,
and
the babies, the immature pussies who think that a little shot is going to help. No, it's going to help because it's emotionally shaming these nincompoops into understanding that that it's not dangerous. And they just have to just suck it up because... Because it's not dangerous, and they're ruining society. Ruining it!
Yeah, well, don't think, you know, getting a magical shot or wearing a radical head garb or paying whatever, like, tax the government comes up with is going to let them leave you alone. They're just going to come up with something more and more, and, you know, eventually you're going to find yourself... paying party dues to, I think, a one-party omnipotent system is where I think we're headed.
Well, yes, because the road to hell goes, they push you a little bit until you resist. Jordan Peterson talks about this.
Yep.
And then you push back and you're pushed 2 feet back, but you come forward 1 foot. And so you keep getting pushed 2 feet back and slowly you're 10 feet from where you started.
Right.
And your heels are going, digging, and you're looking back and there's a drop.
Yeah.
And the people who are born into that are already born 10 feet back. So they assume that that's how things are.
What do you mean, sociologically? What people are you talking
about? Well, babies who are born now, today, will grow up with the idea that it's... that
pointless to fight?
Well, they don't know how good things were.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because they don't know how good things were because there was the... It's the fog of history.
Yeah.
And when you change your mindset as a whole group to such a degree that it's so different to understand how things were, say, for example, on September 10th, 2001, then you can't go back to that, and that is what the foundational efforts are for this entire scenario, is to make the children today not even want to go back to a previous state of being free thought and rational thinking.
Right.
It's up to people who are able to see it and to do that to keep it down. So I don't know. To some degree, I'm trying to do that here, but I don't. You know.
Yeah.
How. We're all learning.
Hey, you know, like, just speak up, even if it's to your circle of friends, you know? We gotta do this, like, one person at a time.
Yeah, so. That's the thing. It's so hard. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hang out with a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds, and they're the ones that are... Every time I get in touch with them, I see them every couple of months or something, and there's a group of five, and they are basically saying, I love your stuff on Facebook, because we know it's a lie. The 25, I'd say the 23 to 40 are the dipped in bubble wrap and given a participation trophy.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones below that, the iGen generation, anyone who's 25 and below, they're seeing it on, they're seeing a lot of different things. They're seeing enough of it. They have a wide enough perspective. They're the ones who don't watch the mainstream. They don't watch just, they rarely watch news.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
they get
good.
All their stuff from online.
Okay, good.
They get it from different sources, and it goes the spectrum. They're not all watching everything on one channel. They're getting the different information. And if you have access to these kids, I asked the first thing when I met with them a couple of weeks ago, and I said, how many shots are you on? And they were both, unfortunately, we're at three right now.
Hmm.
Well, do you have to get one for school? And that was the big question at the beginning of the summer, whether college students were going to have to get another shot to be allowed to go into school.
Absolutely not. This is a stupid idea.
Well, no. The thing is that these are kids who are mostly on scholarships. They're low income to medium. They don't have a choice. If they don't get the shots, last year, if they didn't get the shot, they didn't go to school. D.C. right now, mayor is saying, if you don't get the shot, you're not going to even get online. Did you hear about this?
Oh, my
God. Muriel Bowser or whatever said, if you don't, 12 and up, if you don't get the shot, we're not going to provide you with online classes. We won't let you into school.
What a goddamn coercive...
Hey, didn't you just say we weren't supposed to swear? Okay, sorry. But that's what she's saying.
It's a terrible thing.
And
it's
so
a terrible thing.
Right, but we have to do it other than badgering, because badgering doesn't work.
Well, listen, for anyone who's listening and they reluctantly had to get the shot, I suggest you get on NAC, stands for N-acetylcysteine.
Oh, I'm on that.
It's a natural acid. It's really good for circulation. It will basically prevent the blood clotting that can sometimes give you a heart attack.
Say it again.
NAC stands for N-acetylcysteine. It's a natural acid.
And you can get it at, what's it, all natural?
Yeah, you can get it at, like, most, physical vitamin store or something like that. Although, interesting fact, Amazon banned it a couple months ago.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Huh. That's another log on the conspiracy fire. Except it's not a conspiracy, folks. It's the freaking truth.
You're fiery.
This bonfire is going to burn the whole system down.
It's not, though, because behind the problem, there's over a million employees that work for the government. The U.S. Mm-hmm. is the number one employer of government of people. Right?
Right.
So if you're a low level, Joe versus the volcano, low level, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, you should. If you're a low level flunky, or even if you're not, if you've even been working, the government pays well. You get great benefits, you get 401k, you get a retirement plan. If you're someone who's in the middle of any of these, and that's state and local in this state and everywhere else, if you work for the federal government, you're not going to jeopardize that.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I know.
So even if if Armageddon comes or whatever, the one where they blow up the White House, if that happens and all those people are in there, it's almost like a Pez dispenser. There'll be another group of people that are willing to take that spot.
Oh, I see.
And until those people, the low-level people go, I've been more sick since I took this shot. Like you said, they're gonna rise up, but they won't, because as long as they're mildly sick and they have really good health insurance, they're gonna keep getting whatever they're gonna keep doing whatever they're told, keep getting treated until they die.
The gilded cage.
Right, because they don't want to lose that little chunk of comfort that they have for the discomfort of admitting that they took something. I have an older friend of mine, 70-something years old. She's had four shots. She lives in an assisted living condo, and she wears a mask to go from the outside of her house to her apartment.
Jeez.
Even after getting four shots. And
paranoid
wears two
much?
Masks. And I said,
paranoid.
I talked to her, and I said, she said, I had an event, and she said, I don't want to come because COVID is heightened thing in Waltham. And I said, so it makes you sort of question why you got those four shots.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And she ha ha ha'd it.
Yeah. Well, the danger is that people will become accepting of anti-humanist and aggressive authoritarian policies, and it cannot be allowed to happen. So you have to be forceful in resisting and forcing people to not have masks and forcing people to not have to have a shot to go to school. Because otherwise, on the flip side, if you don't go to the school, then maybe you'd get better educated and homeschool at some other school that
definitely
would accept
it. But you've got to think about the kids in the middle, the 18 to 22-year-olds that I'm hanging out with now. They have no choice. They've spent the last, they were in freshman year, they went in, they had to wear masks. The next year, they had to take the mask and the shot. Year three, they don't know where they are. They don't necessarily have to do the mask, but it's a wiggle room right now because they don't. Most of the institutions are like following the CDC, yet they're not because they've also been threatened with federal money taking out.
They didn't have religious exemptions.
They did, but nobody. Just like the armed services.
Yeah.
For every 1,000, one person got an exemption. So, and they're also 22. They don't have the voice because they've been comfortable.
Right.
You know, they're not used to having people go, no,
that's true.
So they'd rather conform, even though they're pissed off about
it. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why this has all started in the college and schools younger than that. Mm-hmm. Because these people are still young and still used to being told what to do and are still looking to please professors and please their peer group. They haven't found the solidity of a personality yet when you get older, in which you go your own way and you don't give a damn about what anyone else thinks, which is the foundation of individuality and in this country. And as you get older, that becomes a much more solidifying thing. But on the contrary, you get nicer as you get older. And you get fake nicer as you get older.
Fake nicer.
Well, also, I remember they were requiring people to get the vaccine for organ transplants, too.
They're still doing that.
And, and so it's like, that's a tough position to put someone in. Yeah. You know, they're like, it's almost like
you're gonna... Yeah, the guy in Massachusetts, in Beth Israel, who died because they wouldn't give him... He refused to get the vaccine. He died had a heart, had been waiting for 6 years.
Right, right.
And he died.
Wow.
It's a tough situation, though. It's a tough choice.
We'll wrap up here. We're almost at the top of the hour, and then we'll start something new in the next hour at 7 o'clock. But I'll just finish up by reminding everybody that the pharma companies have board of directors on the top of their company hierarchy charts. And so do news organizations like Reuters and Pfizer have, for example, like Reuters and AP and what's another news organization?
Bloomberg.
Okay. They all have
Wall Street Journal.
Board of directors who are those 12 guys that get in the room every few months and tell people what the direction of the company. Well, guess what? Reuters and Pfizer have the same board of director members. The same people are on the board of directors for the news and for the Pfizer. For the pharma. And so why would one want to, say I was the board of director, who was that guy? I would want both of these to be working together to maximize profits. News doesn't make profits, but pharma does. So I would want my profits to come from pharma by telling my news to make pharma look good.
Well, what about Jeff Bezos and the Wall Street, Washington Post or the Washington?
Washington Post.
Yeah, he owns that, and he's doing the same thing. You know, and
this
also Michael, the former mayor of New York.
Yeah.
You know, he's got Bloomberg News. He's got they're all connected.
Yes,
they're all.
There's only five giant corporations that run all these news networks anyway.
Right.
So, so within those five, within each of those five corporations, there's people who are directing things to their interests. They're not into your interests. They don't care about you. You the listener, you the consumer, they only care about their own profits. So they'll basically do anything they can as long as it's not blatant murder,
they'll do that
an
too.
Act of murder
sometimes
on a mass scale. But they'll walk right up to the line, and they won't cross it. But they won't care about health at all, and we've seen that because these gene therapy injections have been shown to have heavy metal contaminants and crystals that cause blood clots in every single one of them. Every single one.
Adverse effects.
My.
But if you tell that, right, it's Disney, AT&T, Viacom.
Yeah.
Disney, there's six. But if you tell that to the average American, once again, you will be pushed back on because. Remember a couple, like a year ago, every news organization said, it's a threat to our democracy, and you saw the montage, it's a threat to our democracy, a threat to our democracy. And the same thing with Build Back Better. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and I said, never in the history of this country has the same slogan been used worldwide.
Yeah.
Build Back Better.
Trump's slogan was Be Better Best. Still three B's, right?
Yeah.
Before that, it was Make America Great Again.
Well, that I'm talking about the BBB. being the same in both. So it doesn't matter who the president is.
Right, exactly.
Well, now, what you just said a second ago about, right before we were talking about BBB.
About the how many people that own the news station? Yeah.
Yes, you said there was the large montage of 50 or 100 different news channels that read the exact same editorial, word for word. They had their general manager of 100 different television channels get on the air and read that same speech that said...
this is a threat to our democracy.